which is true, which is powerful, which is directly from you. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning and that we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers also. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we took a look at Jesus' teaching on becoming generous givers from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and we saw that the whole passage is really about the attitude of the heart. And the Pharisees, the hyper-religious people of Jesus' day, loved to do their good works and their acts of righteousness as a show. They loved to put on a show. They weren't thinking about God when they were doing them. They weren't even thinking about the recipients of their gifts. Their only concern was for their reputation. It was, look at me. See how generous I am. It's all about me. Hence, Jesus called these religious people hypocrites or play actors. They were religious people who had a look of piety, of spirituality, but they were simply wearing masks. They were on the inside dark and ugly, and their motives were to manipulate. They were trying to manipulate both God and people. They did all the good things that they did in order to receive the applause of men. And Jesus said they got it. They were after applause and they got it. They received no reward from God. That's what they wanted. They wanted applause, and so God complied and he said, there you go. There is your reward. You got it. But you get nothing from me. Now, we also saw that it's God's desire for us that he would transform us so that we are givers like he's a giver, so that we are generous like he's generous. When God gave, he expected nothing in return. He gave everything. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he gave his very life for us and expecting nothing in return. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated or showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. So he didn't wait for us to shape up. He gave completely, 100% before we could even earn anything. And so God is in the process of changing our hearts so that we can love like that. Now our problem is that we will do on the outside what we are on the inside. That's my problem. What's on the inside when I'm backed into a corner is going to come out. I have that problem, and so do you. On the inside, in our sinful nature, it's not very pretty. I hate to break it to you, but on the inside, there's some ugliness there. That's what the Bible tells us. We can put on a real show on the outside and everybody think, wow, that's a really beautiful person, when we've got some thoughts inside that we would never want anybody to see. Never. Because then they would see who we really are. And unless we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to deal with that ugliness, we are going to act out of it because that's what we are. We need Jesus. And that means that we have to allow God to get a hold of us and do an extreme makeover and change our hearts and our minds, change our thoughts, change our desires, change everyone. Because we do not naturally love those that we think don't deserve our love. And God's called us to love even our enemies. Well, in Matthew 6:3, in the passage that we looked at last week, Jesus said, but when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. When I brush my teeth, I don't think about which hand to brush my teeth with. I just, the left hand doesn't fight with the right hand and saying, no, it's my turn this morning because you did it last night. Right? My right hand just goes and grabs a toothbrush and just naturally takes that toothbrush. I don't have to think about it. It's as natural as breathing. I don't think about it at all. I just do it. Well, God wants us to get us to the place where our acts of righteousness, the good things that we do, are just as natural as breathing. Just as natural as eating and sleeping, so that they become a regular part of who we are. So that we don't do those things because we're being washed. We do them because God's transformed us. God's changed us. He's giving us the character of Jesus. So that we act in the ways that He would act. So that we see people in the way that He sees people. That's what He wants to do. He is essentially giving us the character of Jesus. From glory to glory. The Bible says, more and more and more like Jesus as we walk with Him. That's God's desire for us. He wants to do that in our hearts because that's what the gospel of Jesus does. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And that's where prayer comes in. Because this process that we're talking about here, that God's taking us through, is a spiritual exercise. And it's not going to happen by sheer willpower. It's going to take an act of the will as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to change us and to become that person who loves in the way that we don't naturally love, but we cannot change unless we surrender ourselves to the Spirit of Jesus. That's a fact. We are broken individuals. And that means that we're going to have to learn to trust God and become totally dependent on His Spirit, surrendering to Him as He does His work in us. And that's why prayer is so important. And we need to become prayers who recognize that if we're going to become the people that God intended us to be, we have to continually humble ourselves. And the Bible says that as we humble ourselves, He will lift us up in due time. We don't have to do the lifting up. We don't have to do the exalting. That's God's job. Well, between today and next week, we're going to be taking a look at this next section, which Jesus teaches His disciples how not to pray and then how to pray. And so this week, we're going to take a look at how not to pray and then next week, how to pray. So if you're not there already, grab your Bibles or your iPhones or your iPads or whatever you have and turn to Matthew chapter 6 and starting in verse 5. And Jesus says some very similar things in this passage on prayer as He did in the first verses on giving. And He starts with a warning to make sure that our hearts are postured in a right way towards God. That they aren't postured in this superficial sort of piety that's designed for the purpose of making us look more spiritual than we actually are. He's saying, check your heart. And it's always a temptation. Believe me, it's always a temptation. Whenever we do anything publicly, it's a temptation to draw attention to ourselves. I have to deal with this every Sunday when I walk up here. Every Sunday, it's a battle. And every Sunday, I do a prayer walk. And I get my heart right. And I talk to God. And I have this battle with my old nature. And I ask God to take over. And whenever we do anything publicly, whether it's praying or doing a good deed or whatever it is, there's that battle because I want to be noticed. I want to be noticed. Now, the super religious people in Jesus' day would go to great lengths to make sure that their prayers were long and flowery and sounding oh so religious. And so that they would be so impressive to listen to. And perhaps those who were within earshot were impressed because they really did sound sort of spiritual. They sounded very religious. They had that sound, they had that look, they had the walk, they had everything down pat. They looked like they were holy. But again, Jesus said, if the motivation of our hearts is to gain the approval of others, he said, we may get that approval. We may get that applause. We may get a whole bunch of people thinking, wow, she's so spiritual. But that's all the reward we get. And so Jesus, in regards to prayer, says, but when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Now, just as in giving, the teaching on giving, Jesus' point here is not that we should never pray in public. That's very obvious because Jesus and his disciples prayed in public often. And so that's obviously not his point. His point, again, is the question of our heart attitude. What's our motive for praying? Why are we doing it? And in fact, who are we actually praying to? We always have to remember that Jesus sees through our actions and he sticks his probe into our hearts to find the motive. And Jesus is expert at doing that. And that's what God's word is. Some people don't like reading the Bible because they feel convicted. As soon as they read the Bible, they feel this pang of guilt. It's a mirror into our souls. Well, Jesus was saying that these people who looked so pious, who looked so religious and spiritual with their long-winded prayers were not what they seemed. They were play actors. They weren't even talking to God at all, actually, if it comes right down to it. They weren't talking to God. They were talking to the people in the crowd. That was the audience. And what they were trying to, they were just like actors on a stage praying these pious, religious-sounding prayers, expecting applause as soon as they say amen. Well, thank you very much. How would you like that one? Yeah, it was a great performance. They weren't talking to God at all. And so the point that Jesus is making is when you pray to an audience of one. An audience of one. You put the thoughts of everybody else out of your mind. And whether you're praying alone or with your family or in a church service or in your life group or wherever, pray to the God who hears you. He's the audience. And just as in the act of giving, praying should be just like breathing to us. It should be something that becomes so natural to us that at times we don't even know that we're doing it. We just all of a sudden break out in spontaneous, even if it's just in our thought life, talking to Jesus. Because we're so aware of his presence with us every minute of every day. And all of a sudden we just start talking to him. He's right with us when we're doing the dishes, when we're mowing the lawn, when we're going on a hike, when we're fishing, whatever. All of a sudden we break out into prayer to the God who is with us. Because he is with us. Just like breathing. And then, Jesus says, when we're doing that, it doesn't matter who else is around because we are praying to that God in secret. In our hearts. And because our hearts are postured towards God, he hears and he responds. You know, some of the most refreshing prayers that I've ever heard prayed are from new believers who aren't trying to impress anybody. And they're so unpretentious. They've never prayed out loud before. And so it's really refreshing. They have no idea how to address God. They've never done it before publicly, and so they it's just natural, and they say, dear God, We've never actually formally been introduced, but my name's Jeff. And they go on to have a conversation. And it's just natural. It's so unpretentious. They aren't trying to put on a show. They're just talking to God just like He's their friend. And it's a beautiful thing. That's how we should pray. Just unpretentious. Talk to God. And learn to listen. Because God's a God who speaks. Conversation, by definition, is two-way. It's a two-way discourse. Right? Just like if we have a conversation, a real conversation is a two-way discourse. It's not me going on and on and on and on and on and on, and you having to put up with me. Sorry, everybody. But there's a two-way conversation. And we need to learn to listen to Jesus. Be quiet. Be silent with Him. Let Him speak to our hearts through His Word. Let Him speak to our hearts through creation when we're going for a walk or whatever. Because God is a God who speaks. Verse 7, when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. When we talk to God, when we pray, we don't have to sound all pious and verbose. We just talk to Him just like He's right beside us. Just like He's there, just like He's our friend, because He is right beside us. He's in us, as a matter of fact. The Bible says that Christ is living in us. And He's with us wherever we go, so we can just have a conversation. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions about prayer. Sometimes we think that we need to twist God's arm into doing something that He doesn't really want to do. Anybody ever had that misconception about God? I know you're afraid to put up your hand. I have at times. Where I think that it's my job when I'm praying to really try and twist His arm to do something that I know He doesn't want to do. Whatever it is. Get me, you know, that whatever it is that I want. And we confuse wants and needs. Or we, you know, there are some people who think that they have to pray with a certain amount of intensity in their voice in order to get God's attention. Or, you know, have that sort of reverent sound when they're praying. When I was traveling in this singing group many years ago, 30 years ago or so, we were in at a church in New York, I think it was, and a really small church. And the pastor was like that. When you talked to him, he just sounded like this. And all of a sudden, when he started praying, he would get into this really religious, pious-sounding voice. And it was kind of scary. But we don't have to do that. There are no right magic words to say, either. Some people think they have to have just the right words to say. To have just the right intensity, to gather enough people or whatever. Let me read a quote to you from this commentary by Myron Augsburger on prayer. And he says, prayer is opening one's life up to God. It's inviting Him to act in our lives. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is being willing to accept His will in our lives. Prayer moves the hand of God by giving Him the moral freedom to do in our lives what He has been wanting to do. God, in His sovereign practice, does not impose His will upon us. That doesn't mean that He's not sovereign or that He's not able. It just means that He doesn't want robots as His children. He doesn't want slaves. He wants a relationship with us. God is sovereign. He is all-powerful. But He's not going to impose His will on us. Consequently, He can function in our lives in accordance with the degree of freedom we surrender to Him. Prayer is therefore relational. It is not merely a psychological exercise of self-fulfillment, nor is it a mental review of God's principles, nor is it coercing God. Rather, it is a free personality, that's you and me, inviting the personage of heaven, that is God, to share with us. That's prayer. And so simply put, prayer is inviting God into our situation and asking Him to do what is His will for us. That's what Jesus said. Prayer is getting to know the heart of God and then allowing Him what He already wants to do. And so this is an exercise in trust. Do we trust that God can run our lives better than we can? That's the question. Then why would we want to run our own lives? You know, too many times we go to God with our agenda. We've got our minds made up. We have our hearts closed to any change that He might want to make in us. We go trying to coerce Him, to manipulate Him. We've already know the answer that we think is better because we really, if it comes right down to it, think we know better than God. Or we think maybe if we get enough people together and beseech God on our behalf, then maybe He can change His mind and do what I want instead of what He wants. And that's not prayer. What that is it's manipulation, it's coercion, and it's idolatry. It's making a God, creating a God in our image instead of allowing Him to transform us into His image. And that's not prayer. And so we pray in order to get to know God in similar ways that we would get to know each other. We sit down and we talk and we listen. We're authentic. We ask questions. We listen. We don't just give Him a list of, you know, what we want or what we demand of Him. And we're there ready for Him to change our hearts. David, in the Psalms, was very, very much into this kind of reflective prayer that was open to having God change his heart. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, David prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." You know, we have a lot of blind spots. And we need to come to God with this open posture that says, "God, would you show me? Show me if there's any way in me that offends you. Show me if there's anything that gets in the way of my relationship with you or my relationship with somebody else. And Lord, would you give me the courage to do what's right, to make it right?" And so if we're serious about allowing God to change our hearts, we need to give Him permission to do so. Because He's not going to force His way on us. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask Him. We don't have to try and coerce God. We don't have to try and get God's attention and say, God, look at me, don't forget me. You know, He's paying more attention than we are to the little details of our lives. He never forgets us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never put us on the shelf. We don't have to manipulate Him. It's we who forget God. We get so busy doing what we think are so many good things, and in that busyness, we forget God. There's a story in the book Chicken Soup for the Soul about a little girl named Shia. She's 4 years old, and when she was her baby brother was just born, and she had been begging her mother and father, please, can I spend some time alone with my new baby brother? And the parents wouldn't let her stay alone with her baby brother because they're afraid maybe she's jealous and she's going to shake him or hit him, and it just didn't seem safe. But over the while, it seemed like she really had good intentions and she wasn't showing any signs of jealousy, and so they said, okay, you can spend some time alone with your little brother. And so she went into the nursery where her little brother was, closed the door behind her, but it stayed open a crack. And Mom and Dad walked up to the door and they peered in and they listened. What they saw and heard was little Shia walk over to the crib where the baby was, take his head in her hands and look in his eyes and say, baby, tell me what God is like, because I'm starting to forget. Tell me what God's like, because I'm starting to forget. You know, we get so, so busy, and sometimes doing so many good things, and we forget God in the process. And we need to remember to spend regular time with Jesus, and not just having our, you know, this is our 15-minute quiet time in the morning and think that that's good enough and then forget God the rest of the day. I'm talking about developing a rhythm of continually turning our hearts towards Jesus. Continually, minute by minute, being aware of His presence with us so that we just spontaneously break out talking to Him, being aware. Can you imagine the change that would make in how we deal with each other? In how we think about each other? If we were aware of the presence of Jesus in our hearts every minute of every day, we would not be thinking some of the thoughts we are thinking. Guaranteed. And so we need to develop that, to practice turning our hearts towards God every minute of every day. Now, for the remainder of this morning, I want us to have some silent prayer. And I'm going to take you through the acronym ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And between these times, we're just going to have some silence. And some of you are going to feel really awkward, like this is too quiet. But in those times, let the Spirit of Jesus speak to you. And remember what He's saying. And if He's telling you to do something, to make something right, to do business with Him or to do business with somebody else, then make sure that you don't let the day close without making things right with Him or with somebody else. And so let's start out first with adoration. And one of the best ways to sort of get our hearts focused is to go to the Psalms. And so Psalm 100 and verse 1. If you want to close your eyes, you can do that. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Now, in the quietness of your heart, just turn your praise towards God and let Him speak to you at the same time. Father God, You are so, so amazing, indescribable, and yet we know a bit of Your character from Your Word. We know that You are all-powerful, that You're in control of everything, that You know everything, that You're everywhere. We know that You never change. We know that You are a God who judges justly, who always does the right thing. We know that You are a God who is good. And You've invited us into relationship with You, God, and that is so amazing that the God of the universe, the God who created the heavens and the earth, would want to have a relationship with me and with each person here. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Spirit. The Bible also teaches us that we should confess. The Bible says that we should confess our sins to Him, and it actually says that we should confess our sins to one another. In James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. 1 John 1:8-9 says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And then as David prayed in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends You and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Let us spend a minute or two asking God to reveal to you areas that you need to confess to Him or to others. Father, I am so sorry. Lord, you know my heart. And you know that I am not the pastor I should be. I'm not the husband I should be. I'm not the friend I should be. That I fall short in every way. Forgive me, Lord. Let's thank the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the ten-stringed harp and the melody of the lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. And just spend some time thanking God that He's just forgiven all your sins. Spend some time just thanking Him for whatever comes to your mind. Thank you, Father, that you do forgive. Thank you that if we confess our sins in the name of Jesus, that you are faithful and you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I just thank you that that's true of me. Lord, thank you for giving us things to do where we can bear your image, where we can do things that are worthwhile, that show the creative, your creative power even. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in her. Thank you that you're continually changing her. And us and me. Lord, and thank you for so many people here who generously give of their time, who generously give of their energy, who generously give of their finances, so that, and of their gifts and talents, so that the work of the kingdom can be extended in Camel River and around the world. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Thank you, Lord, for my wife, for Ruth. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. I pray that you'd help us to have an attitude of gratitude continually. Let's spend some time in supplication now. Psalm 86, 1-3 says, "Bend down, O Lord, and hear my prayer. Answer me, for I need your help. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and trust you. You are my God. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am calling on you constantly." Let's take some time right now and call out to God. Just call out quietly to Him for whatever it is, for your own needs. Plead on behalf of somebody else. Plead on behalf of the church. Pray for whatever comes to your mind right now. Father, thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you meet our needs. Lord, we want to pray in line with your will. A lot of times we don't know your will, and we just need to trust you. And so we do that in a lot of ways today. Thank you for Robin and Leanne, and that you've given a call on their lives. Thank you that you've promised to meet all of their needs. Lord, I just pray for them, Lord, in line with your will, that you would give them everything that they need to do the job that you've called them to. Guide their way, Lord. Order their steps. Father, I pray for this church that you would bring about revival, Lord. Help reveal to us ways that where we fall short. Help us to go to our knees and beg your forgiveness, that you'll change our hearts. We'll make things right with others and with you. Lord, do some amazing work here. Lord, we just want to have that relationship where we trust that you will meet every need. Thank you, Father. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together now before the worship team comes up. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And Father, we just thank you for this time that we could spend together. Thank you that you're a God who hears, that you're a God who answers. And Lord, this week I just pray that you would help us to, minute by minute, be aware of the presence of Jesus with us and draw our attention to you, Lord. And I pray that you would speak to us, that our ears would be open to what you're saying, that our eyes would be open to what you're doing, that you would help us to see others in the way that you would see them, and that you would give us divine opportunities that we would join you in them. In Jesus' name, amen.